Okay, I'll start out in chapter 29. I'll read. He that often, that being often reproved, hardens his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. Whoso loves wisdom rejoices his father, but he that keeps company with harlots spends his substance. The king by judgment establishes the land, but he that receives gifts overthrows it. A man that flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. In the transgression of an evil man there is a snare, but the righteous does sing and rejoice. The righteous considers the cause of the poor, but the wicked regards not to know it. Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. If a wise man contends with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. A fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keeps it in till afterwards. If a ruler hearkens to lies, all his servants are wicked. The poor and the deceitful man meet together. The Lord lightens both their eyes. The king that faithfully judges the poor, his throne shall be established forever. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increases, but the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give you rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto your soul. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. A servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understand, he will not answer. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. He that delicately brings up his servant from a child shall have him become his son at the length. An angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Whoso is partner with a thief hates his own soul. He hears cursing and bewrays it not. The fear of man brings a snare, but whosoever puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Many seek the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment comes from the Lord. An unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in his way is an abomination to the wicked. Now, we know that this is about how to live our life. It's giving us instructions, correct? By this late in the game, we're figuring this out by chapter 29. There's only a couple more chapters. That he's giving us details on how to live our life, on situations that we're going to run into in life. And I didn't say might run into. Situations we are going to run into. Every situation we run into in life, this book of Proverbs will give you that situation somewhere. Maybe it won't be Joe and Mary, but it'll be the same situation, the same principle that you got to deal with. Okay? So if we really pay attention to this and get it in our minds, like we were talking the last few weeks, settle it in our minds. Settle this thing. It's going to be all right, because God's going to give you the way out. Didn't he say no matter what he puts on you, he's always going to give you a way of escape? So he puts you in these tests for a reason. Okay, back to first verse in chapter 29. He that being often reproved hardens his neck, and that's not exactly the way it should be stated. It should say anyone being often reproved and still hardens his neck shall suddenly or unexpectedly be not destroyed, but broken. And that would be without what? King James says remedy, but literally it says without a cure or without a deliverance from it. You get broken, you're broke. He said, you know, if you just keep staying hard-headed and stiff-necked, you're going to come to a point where there's no point of no return in getting that thinking process fixed, right? Not talking about sending nobody to hell. Let's get that straight. We're talking about you're going to come to a place where you can't remedy that thinking process. Not in this lifetime. Okay, verse 2. When the righteous or the just are in authority, or literally increase, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn, or literally they groan in pain or grief, because the wicked puts such a burden upon the righteous. Verse 3, whosoever loves wisdom makes his father glad, but he that keeps company with harlots spends his substance. Now I want to stop here a minute and slow down with this, because when we say harlot, what's everybody think about? Prostitutes. Huh? Prostitutes?
That's it.
Okay. But it's people that are, this harlot is being unfaithful to God. Okay? It's someone's unfaithful to God. How many times did God call Israel a harlot? Huh? See, he's telling you something. When I mention this, I'm talking about the church being unfaithful to me, God. That's what he's trying to tell us in this. So he says, when we keep company with people that's unfaithful to God, it destroys our wealth. And what is our wealth? God. Didn't God say in Genesis to Abraham, I am your great and exceeding reward? See, it destroys the relationship we have with God. When we hang out with people and fellowship with people all the time, I'm not talking about staying away from people that are not godly people, but I'm saying when that's all we do, it's going to persuade us or lead us down the path where they're at. Because the book says get the words out of my head. Evil communications corrupt good manners or lifestyles. See, when I hang out with them, he didn't say might, he said will. Evil communications corrupt good manners, good lifestyle. So the evil lifestyles will corrupt you if you haven't got it settled in your mind who you are. And there's a lot of people that think they have, but when they get into it, next thing you know, they're sucked right into that system, going right on doing everything crazy.
Being continually in those carnal thoughts all the time.
It's going to get you.
That's being unfaithful to God.
Sure it is. Absolutely. But it destroys your relationship with God, doesn't it? Because now you're worried more about what your friends think about you than what God thinks about you. Mm-hmm. And see, if we settle in our minds one thing, my Father loves me no matter what. I may be foolish and do something stupid sometime. All that does affect my relationship, you know, my fellowship with Him, not relationship, my fellowship with God. It does not change the relationship with God. Did I say that right? Yeah, my relationship is by the blood of Christ. Is that true? He said he'd never leave or forsake us. So my relationship with God is never in jeopardy. But my fellowship with God is in jeopardy when I am going like Adam and hiding from Him. See? When I feel like I've done something wrong and I go hide from Him. I'm not afraid of my Father, and I know my Father will correct me if He deems it necessary, won't He? Don't have to worry about it. Don't think you can hide from Him. That's an ignorant thought that comes out of humanity, that they can hide from God. I mean, that's kind of dumb, you know, because He's inside of you, so wherever you go, He's right there, looking right at you, you know. Huh? Yeah, like, hello?
God is definitely faithful to correct you.
Absolutely.
That's a good thing.
Wonderful thing. Okay, verse 4. The king by judgment establishes the land, but the one, not he, but the one that receives gifts, and that word gifts is bribes or contributions. And we have a wonderful example of that called our political system today. If you give gifts or bribes or contributions, same thing, they all come out of the same word, guess what? It overthrows the land or destroys the land. And isn't that what's happening today? All the money that's given, millions and millions and millions of dollars, so they can get their agenda in front. And look what's happening to the country. No one's doing it right. They're doing it wherever the money's at. Whoever pays the most money, that's the one that gets what they want. And that's in our lives too, the same way. Just watch it. You watch people all around you wanting their issues pushed forward. And they're willing to spend their money to get it. Not whether it's right. Verse 5, a man that flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. So what's he telling you?
If they're flattering you, it's one trick,
yeah. If they're flattering you, they're looking for a way to get an advantage on you. See? They're setting you up. So whenever people start talking too favorably about you, you better start watching them. Because that's the cat that's going to put the knife in your back. Okay?
People anymore will say, what do you want?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's true.
That's fact.
That's fact, isn't it? When they start setting you up like that, you should be watching real close. Okay, verse 6, it says, in the transgression of an evil man there is a snare, but the righteous does sing and rejoice.
Like see? Far off a duck's back.
Yeah, see? It doesn't make any difference. You know what that tells me? We're not in control. If we just do what we're supposed to do, God's going to take care of it, isn't he? The righteous or the just, they sing and rejoice no matter what. Even though there's a snare, the evil man's there doing what he does, they're all around us, aren't they?
Yes.
Things are happening all around us, but you just got to go on. Verse 7, the righteous or the just consider not the cause, but the plea, P-L-E-A, plea of the poor. See, that means someone's having some compassion, some understanding for the condition that someone's in. Doesn't mean that you continually feed the beast. It doesn't mean that you enable them to do whatever they want to do and continue to feed that thing. It just means you consider it, you do what you can, and at a certain point it's done.
You're not mad.
No mad. Just can't do no more.
Just like what we was talking about earlier.
Yeah, just can't do no more. It's over. So that's simple as that. But the wicked regard not to know it. And now the Living Bible says it real well. It says that the wicked does not care. And that's basically what it is. They don't care about somebody out here sleeping in a ditch or sleeping in a house that's like a dog pen or a chicken coop or something. They don't care about that as long as they got what they need. But see, you do the best you can. A guy told me a story just recently, and he said, my dad said, there's some people that are groundhogs. Have you caught me yet? They're groundhogs. He said, because you can take them out of their situation. You can go grab that groundhog, reach in there and grab him by the tail or the back leg and drag him out. And you can take him as far as you want to, but as soon as he can get loose from you, he's going to run right back and jump in that hole again. And he said, no matter what you do for people, they're going to go back to their groundhog holes. And he said, there's a lot of people that are just groundhogs. And it was a man, you know, his father had passed that to him a long time ago. And I said, you can see it everywhere. And in Proverbs, doesn't it say that a dog returns to his vomit and a sow returns to her wallowing in the mud? Isn't that the same thing? The same principle? No matter what you do for them, they end up going back to that same wallowing hole. You have self-pity and whatever the garbage is there, you know.
And a redneck will say you can take the boy out of the country, but you can't
take the country out of the boy. You can't take the world out of their minds because they don't want it out. Verse 8, scornful men bring a city into a snare. The word scornful should literally be arrogant. Arrogant men bring a city into a snare. That means they get them in trouble, don't they? Sure does. But wise men turn away anger. See? Rather than fighting all the time, let's talk and let's get this thing worked out. Fighting, you know, you sit there to complain about a fire in the middle of the building right here. If this building was on fire, I sit here and arguing about that fire. We'll never put it out, will it? How about let's work together and put the fire out. Let's change something.
Unity.
Okay, let me see. A wise man contends with a foolish man. And it should say, a wise man pleads with a foolish man. And here's one of my sayings that you can write down if you'd like to. Never argue with a fool. Because all you're doing is confirming that there's two in the world. Do you get that? If you spend time arguing with a fool, you're just saying, I'm just like he is. Don't do it. If you discern that this man is foolish, walk away. Just walk away. You're wasting your breath and energy on something that never will change. Okay, if a wise man contends or pleads with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. What does that say about that man? the man that's a foolish man? Whether laughing or raging, there's never rest. What's it say about him?
He has no peace.
He has no stability. You know, he's unstable, right? And there's a lot of unstable people we meet in life. And when I meet these unstable people, I try to make an attempt to reach to that person in some way, to see if there's any hope for some way of bringing them into some kind of peace. And, you know, some people will grasp a hold of a little bit of what you're saying, and it'll help them to some degree, but they never have the intent of going any further, and that's okay?
It's similar to a sugar high.
Yeah.
Just there
for a little while. But it's like, just like the book says in the parable of the sower, you sow the seed and there's some 30, some 60, some 100 fold. So you give them the seed regardless, see? You give them the seed of what can fix them, and if they choose not to cultivate that seed, then it's just going to be a 30-fold, or else the birds are going to eat it up on the way, you know, or it's going to pop up and the sun's going to kill it real quick along the road in the rocky ground. But there's still some that's going to get 30, 60, 100-fold. And it's not our choice as a seed sower to determine how that seed's going to produce, is it? It says, some water, some sow, some water, but God gives the increase. So it's about God determining how and when and where the fruit comes out of this seed, not us. So I try to extend myself, and I'm just sharing from my experience, I try to reach to each and every one that I can. And there's some that I just can't even get near. And I understand that, and I don't bother wasting my time. And I hope I have enough discernment to continue to do that, you know, not waste my time with some that there's nothing there. And I've spent tremendous hours with people. I mean, over periods of years, for years and years, and the people just finally walk away, you know, because they just can't hear. It's okay. I'm not upset. But I've given them everything. I'm clear in my heart, in my mind, that I have done everything I can do to help that person. If they choose to go somewhere, it's okay. I'm not mad. And, you know, in the denominational world out here of the church, that if you leave, I mean, everybody's upset about it. You know, I'm not upset about those things because I know God's got a purpose. And if I've done all I can do for them, then what business would they be to stay here? If there's somebody that can help them further, or if they can't go any further, you know, that's just it for them. That's okay too, isn't it? That's just the way it is. And I don't have an issue with it. Verse 10. The bloodthirsty or the man of blood hates the, not the upright man, but it literally says the complete man. The bloodthirsty man, who would that be? That would be the Adamic man, wouldn't it? The Adamic man, or bloodthirsty man, or the man of blood, and doesn't Adam mean show blood in the face? The man, of, it tells you who it is. He hates the complete man. The complete man is the God man. Right? But the just do what? Seek his soul. Even though the bloodthirsty, the Adam man, hates the complete man, the just, or that complete man, not seek, but they pray for. The language says they pray for his what?
Well-being.
No. In the language it says the inner man. Inner man. That makes sense?
Yeah, because that's the only thing.
Absolutely, see? He's not praying for his soul, which is a mixture of flesh and spirit, but he's praying for his inner man, which is his spirit, isn't it? It's beautiful sometimes what's hidden inside this stuff. It's lovely.
You know, if they could took that, and the New King James says well-being, they could have took that well off in there and just put being.
For his being.
Because the being is
the inner man. Absolutely. But see, that's why it's up to us to do the study and to search it out. And I love it. Okay, verse 11. A fool utters all of his mind, which isn't very much usually, but he gives it all to you. If he's a fool, he can't have much, can he? Okay. But a wise man does what? Literally holds it in. Or let me say it another way, I should say. A fool utters all his mind, but a wise man holds it back, period. Just holds it back. He don't dump it out just because he knows it. He just holds it back. He holds back until it's time for the right time for everything, see?
And that comes with maturity.
Comes with maturity. When you're young, that's, you just utter everything. As you get older, you'll know there's a time to just keep your mouth shut. It's not going to do any good. Verse 12. If a ruler hearkens to lies, all his servants are wicked. Now, why would he say that? Because it's really not talking about the ruler. Who's it talking to? It's talking about all the servants. They got to be wicked. And if a man receives counsel from all these people that are liars, what could the one receiving it be? Because he's going to repeat the same thing, isn't he? He's going to take counsel from all these people that are liars. They're all going to be wicked, aren't they? It doesn't say anything for the character of a person to take somebody without substantiating the facts and judging from it. And that's what we're talking about here, isn't it?
Well, if, you know, so if this is a book of wisdom.
Sure.
If you partake of wisdom all the time, then you're going to
be wise.
Be the complete blameless man that was talked about in the verse. If you continually do the other thing, the carnal lies that speaks to your head.
You'll be the man of blood.
Right.
See? You are what you eat. And we're talking about our minds. Okay? Verse 13. The poor and the deceitful. And that word right there is oppressing man. Not deceitful man, but the oppressing man. The poor and the oppressing man meet together. And the Lord enlightens both their eyes. Now he's not talking both eyes on the same head. He's talking about all the eyes on both heads. Okay, he's talking about everybody gets enlightened by God, whether they're the oppressor or whether they're the just the poor man, right? Absolutely. And so, wouldn't you say that he's talking about all in that verse?
Sure.
He's talking about everybody. Okay, verse 14. The king that faithfully judges the poor, his throne shall be established forever. When you faithfully judge the poor, not because of what they lack, okay, but who they are, period. What their actions are, you judge by what's going on. Nothing else. Judge by facts. And you know, as the world progresses today, more and more people hate facts. People say that we're more informed, but we're less informed today. Because we're so deceived by all the things put on the airwaves today. There's so much deception, and people believe it. They just take it and run with it, you know. And they don't take the time. They're lazier. Well, I'll just Google that later on, right before I get ready to do this or that, you know. Well, Google don't know what God knows. They think they know it. And this new Bing ain't any better. They still don't know what God knows. God hasn't forgot anything. But what he doesn't even, you can't even get that in a sentence and make sense. I'll just let that go. That would just be ignorant to even try to compare something in that. Verse 15, the rod and reproof, the word reproof should be correction. The rod and correction give wisdom. How many people like to be corrected? Most people, if you correct, I can't help it. I mean, you know, most of the time I hear somebody say something incorrect, I want to correct it because when they spoke it, it went in my ears. So when I speak back the correct way, it corrects it in my hearing. You understand what I'm saying? There's a reason, there's something behind the madness people think I have about stating the correct words.
Huh?
Yeah, but when I hear it, and then I want to correct it because it's wrong. I don't want it going in my head, subtly slipping up on me. You know, I'm not going to go that way. So I'll speak out even if people don't like it. Stuff, I'm just going to have to say what I got to say.
There's a book I read, it's called Mind Virus, this word.
Yeah.
It's basically that, you know.
It is.
These things, and it gets in there, and it just multiplies like a virus does.
Absolutely, it does. Eventually, it'll get you.
And you know it's not.
You didn't deal with it, so it takes root and it eventually gets cultivated and it'll grow up. But that's why I say when people say things incorrect, I am quick to come back and state the correct. Even if I don't say it to somebody else, I say it in my mind to correct that. I'll say it's not correct, it should be this. Yeah, even if I don't say it to somebody else. But I'm always correcting the things that go into my mind if I know they're wrong. That filter in there tells me it's wrong, we're going to correct it. Yeah. Whether people like it or not, that's their issue. Didn't the book say you have to love reproof and correction?
Mm-hmm. That no? word said rod and correction.
Mm-hmm.
Where a lot of people get that wrong is they take just the rod and
yeah.
don't try to correct it.
Yeah.
They're just trying to take it in an emotional state and just
beat
you with it, both verbally.
But never try to correct it.
And never try to help the person.
Right. And help is a word more in depth than just correct, that help you get to that correct understanding.
Yeah, make it a, what was it, gentleness?
Who?
I'm thinking that in the nine ingredients of the fruit of the Spirit, the gentleness.
Yeah, meekness.
Make it accessible for them, make it so they can attain to it.
Palatable to them?
Yeah, kind of. I'm missing.
It's okay.
I can't pull it up right now.
You'll think about it.
My hard drive is going
to skip the beat there. Okay. You'll come back up with it. Okay. It said, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. Are we really talking about the physical mother?
No.
When the son is left to himself, he's going to dishonor the woman, his soul. He's going to dishonor her. Verse 16. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increases. Okay? But the righteous shall see their fall. So, literally, what it says, what it should say is this. When the wicked are increased, transgression increases, but the righteous shall see their fall. Now, what does that give you right there?
Hope,
absolutely. It gives you hope. You're going to see, even though the wicked increase around us, and they're doing it every day, aren't they? You shall see their fall. Now, that's not a good thing. We're not trying to talk about somebody wanting to see somebody punished, but God says you will see that wicked person fall on their face because they're doing the things they do. If you will not compromise and you'll walk the path that you know that you should walk, you will see the wicked fall. That's what he says. That's hope. And if you see them fall, that tells me you're not falling.
We could also take that inside.
Oh, absolutely.
And you see the stuff that you're struggling with now.
And you'll see the wickedness fall off.
See that wickedness fall away from you.
Yep.
You can rejoice with Jubilee.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Take you right to Jubilee. Verse 17. Correct thy son, or discipline thy son, and he shall give you rest. Yea, he shall give delight to your inner man. Not your soul. Your soul is not an inner man, is it? Because the man was formed from the dust of the earth. That's external, isn't it? And God put his breath or his spirit inside of him, and he became a living soul. So that's still a mixture. That's not what we're working after. We're not working after a mixture. We're working after pure spirit. Verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, but he that it keeps the law, happy is he. If we look at this thing openly, it says, where there is no vision or no revelation. Where there is no revelation, and we're not talking about some worldly something or another, someone coming up. I'm talking about understanding God. It's a revelation by the Spirit of God opening your mind to see something. And when there is that, a lack of that, then the people what? Not perish, but they show a lack of restraint. If they don't know God has any intent in their life, what should they restrain?
Nothing.
See? I've told people, hey, if God ain't calling you, go out there and kick up your heels and do whatever you want to do. Because if God wants you, He knows where you're at, and He'll come and get you. Right? Don't let somebody intimidate you and say, go jump in the pond and get baptized and say three Hail Marys or any of these other things, or say the sinner's prayer or all these little skits that they've got figured out to make you be something better than what you are. You only are what you are, what God has created. And nothing you can do can change that. The only thing God requires from you is to obey Him. That's it. So what's all these little things? Take communion, eat the cracker, get baptized in Jesus' name, say three Hail Marys, Our Fathers, dance, speak in tongues, all these stupid things that the church has labeled as what you must do for God to love you. And none of them says that in that book. That's something somebody has come up with. Man has done it. That church system out there is man's church system. It's not Father's system. Find me any place in here where you've got all these 25,000 denominations. It's not there, is it? It's all foolishness. And if we come to see that, we'll separate ourselves from it. And doesn't the book say, come out from among her and be a separate people? Her. The system. The religious system. If we come out of it, it didn't say leave God. It didn't say separate from God. It said separate from the system, the woman. The woman. Come out from her, the soulish system that man has devised. Get away from it, and you'll be all right.
Just settle it in your mind.
Absolutely.
Let the spirit drive
wherever your spirit wants to go, let it go. Verse 18, we did that in a minute. Verse 19, a servant will not be corrected or disciplined by words. Though he understand, he will not, what?
Respond
to your words, is what she said. Respond to your words. Though you try to correct him with words, he's not. So what's that tell you? You need the rod for that correction, huh? I know that don't go along with the court system today, but I don't care. That's only in the United States. Every place else in the world, they still go to China or Japan, see if they won't beat that big stick and beat your hide right off of you if you do something. Even the court does it to people, don't they? There was somebody, a college kid over there, did something.
He sprayed graffiti.
Yeah, sprayed graffiti, and they beat him with a stick. Amen to that. Go get him. I'll guarantee you, he won't even go back to that country no more. I wouldn't want to go back after they did that.
It's hard to argue with the stick.
If his parents had done it early, he would have never went through it. If they just corrected his behind a little bit when he was little, he'd have never done it over there, would he? And he wouldn't. Their whole family wouldn't have been disgraced. See, there's bringing that son, bringing disgrace on mama in the house.
Well, it's easier for them to talk back.
Oh, yes.
If it's just words, but if there's that stick, it's a little harder to talk back to that stick.
Yep.
Verse
20, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than him. Someone that's always, God, I know him. Do I know him? We all know him. That you can't get half the words out of your mouth you're trying to say, and they've already got an answer for you, and they don't even know what you're talking about. But they just want to be talking. If you got a lot of words and they make sense, I want to listen to you. But if you only got a handful of words and they're stupid, I don't want to hear them. I don't care how many there are. If they're stupid, I don't want to hear it. Listen, get the full picture before you rant, go off on some tangent about something. Verse 22, 21. He that delicately brings up his servant from a child shall have him become his son at the length. Now, here's the good change in this one. He that motivates or stimulates his servant from a child shall have him become his heir at the length. See? Not taking him as a servant and treating him like a slave, okay?
Train up a child.
Motivate him. Stimulate him. When you take a child and motivate him into doing things, you know they enjoy their studies. They enjoy learning things. Do you realize that? If you stimulate them with something, you know. There's a lot of ways we could even use Tom Sawyer. When he got Huckleberry Finn, when they got, what was it, they painted a fence? See, he stimulated somebody in his mind to do something. After he did it, he learned from it. Although he was manipulated, I guarantee you, he got a great lesson from painting that fence. See, sometimes we can be motivated, manipulated, but yet if we're our eyes and ears are open, even though we've been conned into doing something we didn't want to do, we learned a lesson from it. And you know, God wants us to learn those lessons. Sure. And God will lead us sometimes. He will let someone stimulate us at times. And it's not going to take us out there and kill us, but sometimes we learn some hard lessons.
Dave and I just watched something the other night. They were showing a brain that was not stimulated.
Yep.
And one that was stimulated.
Yeah, how they mature.
And if the brain's not stimulated, it
there's vacuum holes.
The way it's supposed to.
It doesn't fill up the cavity of the skull completely.
So they were also showing something like that where, you know, goes along, not necessarily believing everything you're told. This girl had to lose literally half her brain.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
She kept being told, this shouldn't be, you'll never reach, you'll never do this, that. And she's like totally blunt. She has three languages and learning a fourth.
And you don't believe everything you're told, especially from a doctor, because they're still practicing. Yeah, yeah. If everybody believed what the doctor said, he wouldn't be sitting here today. He'd been on the ground a couple days later after that wreck down there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it wouldn't happen, would it? Because they said we can't even get him out of the car. He won't live to get out of the car. Go get the jaws of life and find out. Say, let's just find out. Don't let him just lay here and die and watch him. Try to do something. Well, all the story, long story made short, he's sitting here today. Because they don't know. See, they was willing to give up.
They just kept telling me all kinds of different things I wouldn't be able to do.
Yeah.
My only answer is they didn't know God.
They didn't know what God wanted in your life, did they? End of discussion. They don't know, and we do, and that's the end of it right there. Okay. Verse 22. An angry man stirs up strife, and a furious master abounds in transgression or rebellion. An angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man, which is an angry man, abounds in transgression. When you're angry, I just counseled someone this week, and I told him, I said, you know, as long as you're angry, and I've told him time and time again, as long as you're angry or in any type of emotion, you cannot make the correct decision. I don't care if you're happy, I don't care if you're sad, I don't care if you're mad, I don't care if you're revengeful, you know, any kind of emotion you can think of other than it's a flat line, you make a decision, it's not from fact, it's made from emotion. And I guarantee you, 100% of the time, you will be wrong. If you're a real happy mood, you're going to be too free about your, too loose about your choice. And if you're mad, you're going to be too hard on your choice. I said, you can't make a choice out of emotions. It's got to be out of facts. And I know our society don't agree with that today, but that's the way it is. That's the truth. Verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. What it literally says, literally, is the Adamic man, arrogance. An Adamic man's arrogance shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Okay? Verse 24 goes on and says, whoso is partner or shares with a thief hates his what? How about his inner man? He doesn't hate his soul, but he hates his inner man. Because the inner man is trying to correct him, and he don't like correction, does he? He hears what? It says he hears cursing, and that word cursing is incorrect. Because if you look at the language, it calls it the oath of the covenant. You hear something there now?
Yeah. 24, ours says he swears to tell the truth, but reveals nothing.
Yeah. Well, the language literally says this, and I'll go on to the rest of it. It'll kind of hit what you're saying there. It says, whoso shares with a thief hates his inner man. He hears the oath of the covenant and acknowledges or confesses it not. He hears the truth, but he doesn't confess it. He don't want everybody to know he heard it. He's not going to confess the fact that he knows it. And I can go in Romans chapter 1. Didn't he say that they cannot deny because they've already heard it? He's already revealed himself? Let me go there and look. Sure it does. Let me read something here in Romans real quick. Let's see. Toward the end of the first chapter here somewhere. Let me see. Okay, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them a reprobate mind to do what's convenient, being filled with all that stuff. That's still not what I wanted. It's got to be earlier than that.
Where was that?
I see. Okay, here it is. For the verse 18, for the verse chapter 1, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness to men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Okay, what? They hold the truth in unrighteousness. They don't want to know it. See, just kind of what we're saying right back there in Proverbs. Because that which may be known of God is apparent in them, because God has showed it to them. Hello. And that's what's making them kick up. That's the very thing we're talking about in verse 24 of chapter 29 of Proverbs. Great parallel, huh?
Also, John
10, 1. Let me look at it. Still going in the right ballpark, ain't it? Mm-hmm. But see, people don't want to acknowledge that God is in them, because then they'd have to say, everything I've stood up for or stood against is true. And that's that pride and arrogance we're talking about in that experience all through here. Verse 25, the fear of man, or fear of humanity, the fear of humanity brings a snare. But whoso trusts, forget that puts his, just say, whoso trusts in the Lord shall be what? Now, there's a better word than that. This is in the language. No. He shall be especially inaccessible.
I am.
Yeah, but you get that? You're inaccessible. Especially, it means especially inaccessible.
It's like Job, you're going to hedge
about. Absolutely. Absolutely. See, so when we put our trust in God, not worrying about what man can do to us, what man can accuse us of, it doesn't make any difference, does it? Can't touch me. What's that MC Hammer song? Can't touch this. There you go. I don't think I'll try that. He's got a little more move than I got. A little more of that, you know. Okay. Verse 26. Many seek the ruler's favor, but man's judgment comes from the Lord. Now, what's everybody see when they see that? What do they hear? They're here, they're going to hell. But see, judgment comes two ways. And Jesus gave a judgment on the day of his crucifixion. Father, forgive them. There was the judgment. There is nothing negative about that. Is there? He forgave us in all of our ignorance and stupidity and all the evil things we've done in our lives. It's been forgiven. It's over with. That blood was shed once for everything. There's no more sacrifice. That's why in the tabernacle, the old tabernacle, they had the outer court, holy place, and holy of holies. The outer court was done away with. What was in the outer court? There was a place of altar of sacrifice. There's no more sacrifice. This tabernacle has been changed. Now we only have the holy place and holy of holies. That's all there is.
Jesus was the sacrifice.
He was the sacrifice. It's over. See? But these people still can't believe it, because all they're doing is listening to some parrot stand up there, whack, 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 you know, yada, 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 talking about stuff they don't have no idea, but if God wanted them to hear it, they'd hear it. So I'm okay with it, but I'm telling you, we know better. It's over with. But it all comes from God, whether it's positive or negative, doesn't it? Verse 27, an unjust man is an abomination to the just, or he is disgusting to the just. Okay? He's disgusting to the just. And he that is upright in his course of life is disgusting to the wicked. I mean, as much as you dislike the lifestyle of the wicked, they dislike the lifestyle of the righteous. They try their best to get you into the same rut they're in. And I'm sorry, but I always like to run bigger tires than most people. So my tire won't fit in their rut. I can't follow their track. And that's the truth. I read an article one time on the railroad, why a railroad track is the width it is. Huh? It started way back in Roman days, and even before. The chariots had that with their wheels. Of course, they've got them to prove it. They've got antiques. They've dug up, you know, artifacts to show the width of the wheels. And they made ruts. And everything was measured off of that same wheel width all the way down to the railroad. It's a standard width on all the railroads, you know. But it's came through the years, and they showed in this article how it transpired and came transformed it from way back in the Roman days when they had the chariots and they cut them roads in dirt roads. They made ruts. And if you made anything that was different from that rut, you couldn't drive the road because you'd be up on your side one way or the other. You had to stay in the same rut.
You'd mess the road up.
Huh?
You'd mess the road up.
Yeah, so everybody stayed conformed so they could stay in the rut. And it's like everybody in their same ditch. And if we're all in a ditch, they end up in a big long grave and get covered over sooner or later, don't they? Just a big long... A ditch is just a big long grave, ain't it?
Yeah, with the ends cut out.
Yep, so doesn't have any end to it. You know, you can stay in, if you stay in that rut. And I've always been one that liked a four-wheel drive with big tires, and I don't fit in their ruts. I tear up and make new ruts where I go.